back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is Thanksgiving week. I am very, very thankful for all things here, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We'll take a little respite this week. I'm going to have turkey and gravy and sauerkraut. And don't forget, every pie is made better when it's a la mode. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour will be back after next week, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation. And we're pitching with Goodwill on Wednesday. If anybody out there wants to help us downtown, throw me a note, nestatbaltimorepositive.com. Still looking for some 10 a.m. volunteers on Wednesday to distribute some turkey and some food to some less fortunate folks. This guy is a fortunate man. He has been watching some Ravens football, certainly more fortunate than the Ravens were when the score was 6-3 and the wind was blowing and they needed defensive takeaways on the way down and instant replay and all that. We welcome Dennis Colazzo's back. He'll be doing the show on Wednesday this week, a little earlier, Wednesday 3 until 5, where he heard again on Sunday morning as the Ravens wake up in Jacksonville. Be a little different in Jacksonville on Sunday, then. It's going to be 74 degrees in Jacksonville. A little different than whatever that was on Sunday at 1 o'clock when the wind was swirling.
Now, perhaps our offense will be less lethargic in Jacksonville as it were at M&T Bank Stadium. I read your columnist. I thought you covered it very well. You hit on all the pertinent points there. And for everything that we saw, the offense being stuck in the first gear and the defense playing lights out against a team that was clearly overmatched, not gone. It was an ugly game, but we'll take an ugly victory any day over a pretty loss.
Well, in the case of ugly wins and how they're playing, you know, every 1 hour they play football on Sunday for an hour and then we judge it for 7 days. Certainly the offense and the Ronnie Stanley situation, we go back to where we were before, which is if he's not playing left tackle for this team in January, I have extreme doubt about their ability to run the ball effectively, to run the ball the way they're going to need to run the ball in bad weather. If they experience that in any game in January. And, I'm starting to believe Lamar's not a cold weather quarterback. And I, you know, just in a general sense, and I know maybe he didn't feel good on Sunday, stomach bug, like whatever that was. Throwing the ball in the wind, throwing the ball in the cold, needing to run the ball and not being able to kick the ball, which is a completely different strategy than what this team has in most weeks, which is, all things being equal, if we're playing on a normal day, we can kick 60-yard field goals to add 3 points when we want to, when we cross midfield. All of that was sort of taken away in the game on Sunday. And not to mention the defense is getting better, but I am worried about the offense.
Yeah, I've been saying all along, Nestor, he doesn't seem like he's a bad weather quarterback. And this game was the latest indication that he's not. He's just not comfortable when it's cold. When you see him when he goes to the sideline, he puts on a big parka. He's the only player that dresses that warmly when he's not on the field, right?
So he's got his hands in his pockets when he's calling plays at the line of scrimmage. Like, he doesn't want to be cold for a second. And I know what that feels like because I'm Latin.
And, you know, that also lends itself to, would he prefer to play in a warmer climate as his contract negotiations haven't been completed with the Baltimore Ravens? That's certainly going to be a consideration for him as he and Eric DaCosta try to put something together in the offseason. But for right now, if the team has to travel up to Buffalo again, particularly without Ronnie Stanley, with that fierce Buffalo pass rush with the front four, it's going to be a tall task for the Ravens to beat Buffalo with Ronnie Stanley, much less without him. So hopefully he and Kyle Hamilton will come back. And when you're playing a four team, you want to get the victory, the dub, but you also want to come out of it healthy, right? The worst thing that can happen to you, you start losing starters. And our hearts fell when we saw Ronnie Stanley get his ankle rolled up on a surgically repaired ankle. And hopefully he says he's okay, and I hope he is.
Well, Dennis Colazzo is here. He'll be back on Wednesday. And all right, so let's talk about the defense, right? And we can get positive here, because you and I got together the morning after they blew a 35-14 lead, which feels like a minute ago, but it feels like 2 months ago now. And we're trying to sort all of this out. And the Roquan Smith addition, while the minute it happened, we're all like, this feels like it could have some tremendous impact. I don't know that we realized the impact it was going to have on Patrick Queen. We'll see on Kyle Hamilton and where he's going to be. But for the middle of the defense now, and the D-line was always pretty stout, This is a different thing to have to run against this team right now, and that would be Eddie George. Wow, I'm going Derrick Henry. How about that? I'm wearing my Oiler blue and my Titan blue right now, my Coons Ford. But stopping Derrick Henry feels more realistic with the middle of this defense, right? It's stopping that kind of running game.
Absolutely. In all fairness to Patrick Queen, the three games that preceded the Roquan Smith's arrival, I thought that Patrick Queen was playing the best ball of his career with the Baltimore Ravens. People forget he's still a very young player. He's barely 23 years of age. His best football is ahead of him, not behind him. He's a rising player. And now with Roquan Smith, he had seven tackles and a half a sack to go along with Queen's 12 tackles and one sack. So 19 tackles, a sack and a half by this pair. And you talk about the playoffs and maybe going up against Tennessee's Derrick Henry, you have to feel better for the Ravens' chances of stopping Derrick Henry and Joe Mixon and Najee Harris and Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in the division going forward. So this is reminiscent of Ravens' defense in the past, Nestor. They were talking about pitching a shutout before the game, shutting out these Panthers. And I think when they're playing these bad teams, that's going to be the defense's MO. They want to pad their stats, right? They want to get Pro Bowl and All-Pro consideration. And they're taking pride once again in playing Ravens style football on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, taking the ball away, right? And there's never a time any of these guys in the back seven are tackling where they're not coming in with a chop to try to knock the ball loose. And sometimes you miss the tackle. Sometimes you embarrass yourself and they get a first down. Sometimes the ball pops out on a cold day and you fall on it and it changes the game. And certainly that was the case in for Marcus Peters to strip a ball and Marlon Humphrey to pick it up and at that point try to run with it, couldn't run with it. But that was the game-changing play, as we sit here all day. The defense is making game-changing plays that are allowing them to win right now while the offense isn't very good.
That's correct. And Marcus Williams comes back at some point in December. Maybe we'll see David Ojabo in the field. This defense has a chance to get better and better as the season progresses. And that's encouraging for the Ravens. The only question is how far can they go in the playoffs? And that's going to rest on the hands of the offense. Greg Roman, Lamar Jackson, DeMarcus Robinson, right? He was nine targets, nine catches, 128 yards. He was wide receiver one, at least for one day.
Well, and what does that mean, right? Andrews maybe not at 100% on his shoulder. He might not be 100% the rest of the year for all we know, right? But drop balls. I mean, there's a reason you don't throw the ball to Pat Ricard. There's a reason, you know, these guys aren't starters to some degree. But where's Prochet? Where's Duvernay? Like, you know, they brag about these guys. They draft these guys. And then when it comes game day, you know, you can't move the sticks with these guys.
Yeah, it's like they forgot about him. It's almost like Lamar was just looking at Robinson the whole day. I don't know if it's Lamar thing, if it's a Greg Roman thing, if it's scheme, but it did seem like the game plan was one-sided. I didn't see any great halftime adjustments. I didn't see anything more creative by the offense to try to get guys open in space. It was obvious that the Panthers were crowding the box. They were trying to stop the run. They were committing seven and eight players in the box, which should have given the receiver some opportunities downfield. I was looking for a deep pass, deep ball. I don't recall seeing a deep ball thrown the entire game. Maybe there was one, but I probably missed it.
Well, Lamar was hassled a lot. And to your point, Lamar didn't feel like he had spark. It didn't feel like he had the step. It's certainly breathing when it's cold. And if you don't feel well, like it didn't feel like Lamar was going to run away from anybody on Sunday in the way that he usually does, or that he wants to run away.
Yeah, there was no question about that. He wasn't himself, right? It was obvious he wasn't feeling himself. He had an efficient day. It was not a bad day statistically for him, but the team did have trouble moving the ball. Now, the Panthers, they have some nice pieces. Brian Burns, their defensive end, what a stud he is. And I don't know how you leave that guy unblocked. The play where he absolutely creamed Lamar, I'm thinking, you know, you gotta put a helmet on that guy. You got to double team him. You can't have him have a free run at your franchise quarterback.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He will be back here on Wednesday, a little early this week for the Sunday Sports Voice. We're going to run him Wednesday from 3 until 5 to get you ready for the Thanksgiving holiday. He'll be back on again on Sunday morning from 8 until noon, getting you ready for Jacksonville here this week. I get a chance to watch all this football. I'm going to be sitting around Thursday getting fat. My wife's doing turkey and stuffing, and we're having a sensible, wise Thanksgiving here, which means I'll be eating Thanksgiving dinner for 5 days until Sunday, as well as a sauerkraut and a kielbasa and all that good stuff. But watching the rest of the league play and how stacked the AFC feels to some degree, and then seeing the Vikings get kicked around, watching the Colts almost beat the Eagles at this point. I mean, the Commanders are winning games. It's crazy. The league, though, and watching it all, the Ravens fit in nicely in this Buffalo, Kansas City, Miami thing. But I watch the NFC, and I'm wondering who's going to – I mean, the 49ers might represent the NFC before it's all over with.
Well, the NFC is a mess, and you factor in all the poor officiating. Again, it was in full display at M&T Bank Stadium. Jerome Boger and crew, I mean, they missed a lot of calls, spent a lot of time looking at replays. I saw your tweets. You were commenting on the poor broadcast.
It was terrible.
And again, at the stadium versus being at home, you get two different experiences, right? But when you mesh them together, you get a pretty good idea of what was going on.
Well, when Ronnie Stanley went down, they were going to a commercial break, and they were just showing the play, and I watched him roll back and grab his ankle, literally in the air. And they're like, "We'll be back right after this." And I'm like, whoa, time out. Oh, whoa. No, no offense. I don't need a Ford commercial right now. No. I need to know what's – I had to go to the internet and see what Luke's tweeting and, like, see what's going – Ronnie Stanley's down. And I'm like, sure looked like he was down, but they went to a commercial break.
Oh, wow.
It was – yeah, I mean, as a reporter, as a journalist that's covered this from the beginning of time, it stinks.
Yeah.
I mean, watching games on TV and thinking like you're knowing what's going on. Lamar's on the bench and they're showing him getting like worked on, but they cut the camera off right away because they're Fox and they're not going to show anything. My God, Steve Bisciotti might see that. And they didn't show replays to either help Carolina or hurt Carolina. I mean, it wasn't very good. It like sitting on the couch and watching the game, I shouldn't want for more. I should feel like, oh, I'm there. They're keeping me informed of what's going on. Fox was terrible.
Yeah. Well, again, the refs in person weren't much better. They left a lot to be desired. And you and I talk about this almost every week, how the impact the referees with their missed calls, with the obvious missed calls, not the stuff that can go either direction. The impact it has on the outcome of these games, Nestor. It's the difference between winning and losing a lot. I know Joe Gibbs, the great Joe Gibbs, used to complain about it all the time, adamantly, how these calls by the officials determine games, and they shouldn't.
Well, the amazing thing to me is the legality of the gambling, and it's about to come mobile this week. I talked to John Martin about it all. Like, I have no problem gambling. Gamble on this, gamble on that. Have at it. I mean, it's a free country, right? But who's adjudicating the bets? Like, right. that they're in on it. They are in on who wins the bet and who loses the bet. You would not go into a casino if, you know what I mean? If the outcome was predetermined by the guy dealing the cards, you just wouldn't do it, you know?
At this point, they need to put the WWE disclaimer, right? These are not, what do they call it? It's entertainment, right? It's not to be taken seriously. The outcomes may be predetermined. There are calls that we see makes you shake your head in critical situations. And of course, those calls have an adverse effect. The compound, the Morgan Moses phantom face mask on the end negated a big play.
He did grab his face mask.
Did he? Well, again, yeah. At the stadium, we couldn't see that because naturally we didn't
because
get the replay.
Because they don't show you things in the stadium
that adverse.
It's goofy. I mean, all of it's goofy. Throwing reporters out, it's goofy. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all.
That's a shame.
Like, I'm not
That's
here
a shame.
Today talking about what they're doing, you know?
Speaking of throwing reporters out, still lots of empty seats. I was able to sell my seats that were on the not sunny side of the stadium, and I moved my seats. I scored a pair in a club level on the sunny side of the stadium, and it made a big, big difference in our comfort in watching the game. I got to tell you that.
That's a veteran move. That's a veteran move, Colazzo.
It's a pro move, exactly. But still, there were plenty of seats that could be had, and the crowd was very loud, but it didn't have a lot to cheer about. But they were into the game. They cheered hard on third down, but you can tell there were a lot of new fans in the seats when the Ravens offense was driving. You can hear them, you know, yelling for the offense. And even in our section, we had to tell people, be quiet, just sit down, be quiet. And they were like, what do you mean? There were several fans. We had to explain, so it's time for them to put up on a scoreboard in a be quiet offense at work. And hopefully the fans at the stadium can figure it out.
I like to think that I love people, but all I do is bitch about people then, because like this is the same as going to a Springsteen show and being down near the stage singing a ballad,
yep.
And I'm hearing about the tuna fish sandwich that they had at lunch
yep.
today. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
And the person in front of you is taking a selfie. They're on Instagram, whatever. They're standing up. You're trying to watch the show. And they're doing this the entire show. I mean, it's like, what did you come here to do? To promote your social media presence, like you're popular? Or did you really come to see the entertainer, the artist, and enjoy it?
My dad would say, baseball, you get 18 opportunities to get up and pee, to get popcorn, to take a walk, to have a smoke, whatever you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, don't get up when it's a 3-2 count. You know what I mean? And get in front of me.
Oh.
And I would think in football, you've got the whole week to pee, go to the bathroom, do what you drink in the parking lot, do whatever you're doing. Like, and the game stops and there's TV timeouts. Like, and the game only really, it's an hour of football that I think they break it down. It's like 11 minutes of action or something, even less than that, from the time the whistle goes to the ball snapped and in play, that, you know, just stay with the game. Try to figure out what's going on if you're going to come down to the game. You know?
So a lot of new fans, a lot of new faces, and you could just tell by the crowd noise. That's a telltale sign that you have. Remind you back of 1996 when we hadn't had football for 13 years, and we get the team, and they had to train the fan base. I remember Brian Billick during his press conferences trying to educate the fan base at the stadium.
That was my job as the media member there. My job every week was explain how this really works, which Marvin Lewis took very seriously with me as a pet project in 1996. He said to me, I don't want you to be on the radio saying stupid stuff. Let me try to help you so you can help them. So that when we're on defense, they're cheering, and when Vinny's got the ball, they stop. You know, that's important.
Right, so the crowd is turning over. The crowd has been changing over for years now. The fans that used to root for Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden and Ed Reed, they're no longer coming to the games. It's a new generation coming in. There's a few of us holdovers that still go and enjoy the game for what it is, but it seems like the crowd's getting younger, less educated about football, and they're in it for other reasons, their own personal entertainment on their social media devices primarily.
Taking a picture and saying, I was there.
I was there. You know, look, see, look, Lamar's on the field and I'm cheering my lungs out for him. Like, no, you don't want to do that. You want to be quiet.
Offensive
they don't understand
work.
And then you think you're picking on them. Like, you know, you're being mean or rude and they don't understand your generation. It's not about that. It's about being the 12th man and giving the team the advantage. They just don't get it.
I saw them last year in Vegas. The night that I went out to Vegas to start the season, they had quiet at work offense, you know, like they had signs up, you know, and I thought to myself, it's 2021 or like, I know you're new here and all, but is this your first time at a football game to understand how this works?
Probably. And you know what, at the stadium now they have, when our defense is on the field, they'll put up signs that said, hey, the Panthers would love it if you were quiet. And so that gets the crowd a little bit jacked up. They need to do the reverse for the offense as well. You know, be quiet. The offense is working. Yeah. Just sit on your hands. And maybe with a disclaimer, this is why, right? Because you have to re-educate the crowd. I might even tweet that out today. Maybe somebody will be paying attention to it. I don't
know. That's embarrassing, Dennis. I mean, I'm being honest with you. As a guy that's done sports radio in this from the beginning, pining away, begging to have a team, it's embarrassing. I mean, I was embarrassed for the Vegas people that they had to put that up on the board. I'm thinking.
Well, I was embarrassed for our offense. Anytime the offense sniffed the red zone, our home fans were cheering loud for the offense to score a touchdown.
When you get the wrong people at the stadium. Maybe I should write that column.
Well, it's the people that maybe take in one game a year, right? It's an event for them. They're going to go for the one game. They save up for it. I mean, it's not
exactly
cheap.
If I'm going to one game a year, it better not be 41 degrees and freezing. You know, if I'm going to go to one game a year, I'm going to Jacksonville this week.
Yeah, and you want to be entertained. You don't want to see 13-3 if that's your mindset, right? But this is what they're attracting these days, which is why, you know, we saw their marketing, their Black Friday marketing. You can buy a PSL for $500, right? That's unheard of in the history of the Baltimore Ravens.
They sent me two of those before the game ended, and at 4:05 and at 4:07 on Thursday or Sunday, I got Black Friday PSL because they won. Once they won, they sent out that triggered the mass email at 4:00 on Sunday thinking,
gotcha.
Oh, we won. He's going to want them now. He's going to need those playoff tickets.
Right. Not when you can sit almost any way you want on game day. You can get your tickets at
It
9 o'clock.
was $24 to get in on Sunday at noon. I did the math on it. I checked it out. $24.
Yeah. People were dumping tickets for sure. People that weren't had no interest in going to the game. It was way too cold for them. But hey, for those of us that did sat on the sunny side of the stadium, I'm surprised everybody from the dark side didn't move over to the sunny side.
Nobody knows the stadium better, man. Dennis Colazzo sitting in the sunshine. He'll be in the sunshine out in Security Boulevard this week at Coons Baltimore Ford. Listen, I know you have deals all the time, but this is Black Friday week. Fill me in. Anything special going on this week?
2.9% for 72 months, the most models, Esther. It's a fantastic savings. We know interest rates, what they are these days, 6-7%. So 2.9 for 72 months saves thousands of dollars for our customers. And we have over 200 brand new vehicles in stock, a lot more than most, the most inventory we've had since pre-COVID.
I saw Crystal Coons yelling about it too.
She did. Crystal's fantastic. And she's touting our inventory. And we're getting people from California, New York, Florida, Ohio, you name it. But we want to certainly sell those vehicles to our local customers first. So come in early and often. If you're going to spend that kind of money, don't get something that's picked over. Get what you want in your new vehicle.
So I don't have to get the split pea green with a.
You don't want that.
No, I don't. Dennis Colossos is here. He will not sell you a split pea green car this weekend. Listen, the most important thing about Happy Thanksgiving. Make sure,
you as
and
well.
This is, I've learned a lot in 54 years of traveling the planet. Good things and bad things have happened in my life, but this is, I will never have a pie not a la mode.
That's right.
Thanksgiving weekend. So get the scooper out, get the wise, get some ice cream, have a little ice cream with the, go all in. Over
if you think 54 is fun, wait until you get to 58. It's even more fun.
Two scoops is what I'm going to do.
Hey, one day at a time.
Dennis Colazzo is going to be found at the Colazzo Show, as well as the Sunday Sports Voice. He'll be back here on Wednesday this week, usually on Thursday. There's a little holiday going on this week, as well as a lot of football happening on Thursday. We're getting ready for Sunday. Luke is out in Owings Mills all week long, getting you ready for Jacksonville, where the weather will be a little bit better. Lamar will be a little healthier, and we will see about the health of Ronnie Stanley, as well as Kyle Hamilton. Any breaking news happens first out on the WNST Tech Service. That's all brought to you by our friends at Coons Baltimore Ford as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.